Good morning. I'm Kemp Haar, and you're listening to FloridaDaily.net. And this morning, we have a special guest with us here in our headquarters. We actually have Dan Frierson, who's chairman and CEO of the Dixie Group. How are you doing this morning?
Kemp, doing just great. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could come and be with us and talk to our listeners. One of the reasons I wanted to invite you over is we just noticed in the news the other day that you are in the process of buying back your stock. And I was wondering if you could tell our listeners what the motivation was behind that.
Kemp, whenever a company does that, they obviously believe it's a good investment or they wouldn't be doing it, and particularly a good investment for the remaining shareholders. If you look at our book value, we're buying it in at less than book value. And in looking at it from a long-term perspective, we believe that a year or two from now, our decision will be proven to be a good one.
So in other words, you think that what the market is paying for your stock right now is considerably less than what it's actually worth. When you say the book value, can you tell us what the book value is?
Book value is around $11. But the real value of a stock is what it can earn, what that company can earn. And we think, given a normal business climate, which we're not in right now, as you're well aware, our earnings would command a higher stock price.
All right. And you said we're not in a regular market right now. You know, a couple weeks ago, we did have John Ball, who I know you have a good relationship with, because actually in your stock repurchase process you're going through right now, you're using his company. And John was talking about the market we're in right now, and he was saying that he thought this recession, and just specifically talking about the flooring industry, that this period of economic stagnation, if you will, was probably as bad as the 82-83 term. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And for those listeners who are old enough or mature enough, will remember the 70s, 73-74 recession, and this is much worse than what he had there. The housing crisis and the credit crunch combined, I think, have made this a much more difficult period than anything we faced in the past.
Well, you deal both in the residential side of the business and the commercial side of the business with your Maslin and Fabrica brands. And are you feeling a little bit of softness now on the commercial side?
Let me say that the commercial side's been very good for the last year or so. So we have enjoyed that, particularly with the residential business so slow. However, we have seen more recently that it has slowed down. I won't say that it's down, but it's certainly not as robust as it was. And I think if you look at the industry figures, they would bear that out.
Where do you see the outlook for this business and for the economy coming into the next year?
There's nothing on the horizon that looks like business will increase or improve dramatically. However, I think we all look for the first little notifications. Consumer confidence is up this month from last month. Existing home sales are up in July. There are a few things that would indicate that maybe we have reached the bottom and things will begin to improve. In our analysis, we see 2009 as a difficult year, just like 2008, but improving from 2008, and probably 2010 being a year of growth. If we do better than that, and we've prepared for it to be that way, and the economy's better than that, so be it. We'll enjoy that as well. But it is going to be a difficult year in 2008 and early 2009, I'm convinced. So that's why we've done the things we've done to cut costs and prepare. The strong companies will survive, and there will be some casualties. But like any pruning process, it does have its rewards once you get out the other end.
All right, Dan. Santos Tresivia does a piece of research that we look at very much, and it says that when recovery happens, that there is a tremendous amount of pent-up demand. And as you look back, and as you said earlier, you know, we talked about 82 and 83 recession. Right after that, there was a huge pickup in volume. Do you think that we'll see that after we pull out of this in the next year or so?
I would hope so, but I wouldn't count on it. Usually when you have something that is this severe, there is a pent-up demand, and I think we can count on that, but whether it will come back as quickly because of the credit crunch. I think the difference is the credit crunch this time, or the lack of accessibility of credit. Now, if that were to change, that possibly could happen.
I noticed also in the news recently that one of your divisions, I believe it was Maslin, has actually, you're making investments and you're adding new tufting equipment, even though we're in a tight time right now, and I think you've had to lay a few people off and adjust to the situation. You still are continuing to make investments for the growth of the business, aren't you?
Kemp, we are, and let me just comment. We did have a reduction of force in second quarter. Our volume is down from a year ago, and none of us know if we're at the end of the tunnel yet. We feel like we're bumping along the bottom, and if we are, that's good. However, I think any prudent operator in an environment like this is also looking at what if. What if it got worse? We're doing that. At the same time, the lifeblood of our company, particularly in the upper end of the market, is product. New product, new beautiful product. To do that, you need sophisticated equipment and creative people. So we continue to invest in sophisticated new tufting equipment, creative people, and new product. We have not cut our offerings to the market during this period, and it's unlikely we will do so because that really is what differentiates us from our competition.
All right, Dan, one other thing I was going to ask you. I think at Surfaces last year, you guys introduced, you got into a new type of fiber or one you hadn't been in a while. You got into the wool business. Can you tell us, I think most of the players in this business are looking at things that have changed in the fiber business of carpet, and you've gotten a little bit more polyester involved, got lots of changes going on. Can you address your entry into wool, and perhaps are you looking at some of these other fiber types?
Well, taking the overall picture first, it's very clear polypropylene is losing position in the marketplace. Staple fibers are losing, particularly staple nylon, losing position in the marketplace, and that creates opportunities. And as you mentioned, polyester filament is growing pretty rapidly, particularly in those price points where nylon has vacated because of the increased costs of nylon. The increased costs in nylon have created another dynamic, and that is that the price of wool is no longer, the delta between wool and nylon is no longer as large as it used to be. And seeing that, we introduced wool products in our Maslin and Fabrica lines in January. They've been extremely well received, and we're very excited about that. In the upper end of the market, many people and designers prefer wool, and we hadn't been there, as you say, for many years, and we're being welcomed back, and it's been a good part of our business.
Many of our listeners are, on the retail side. One of the things, as we have seen these prices go up and up, there's been, I guess, a shift in price point. What is your advice to retailers around price points? I mean, is the consumer really tuned in to this magical $19 to $29 a yard, or do they really understand what carpet is, what the price of carpet is now versus what it was last time they bought some?
I think it'd be presumptuous of me to advise retailers on how to do their business. However, I will say that people love beautiful product, and if you can create something that the customer wants badly enough, price point is not the most important thing. I realize in the market overall that's not always the case, but our emphasis is not on price points, but on looks, on value, on quality. And we think those things and the better retailers who emphasize those things will end up with better margins and more profitability.
All right, Dan, I appreciate you coming in and talking to our listeners today. We've been talking to Dan Frierson. He's the chairman and CEO of the Dixie Group. You've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.